Chairs No Waiting, episode number 360. Neil Brower interviews Bruce Willison, 2011, part one. That's a long one. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Check out the things they got over at Weavers. Got a real neat item. It's called Songs That Make Me Cry by Maggie Peterson. Go check that out. It's actually three songs from the Andy Griffith Show that were recorded live in the studio right there. She has the originals, and she's made it available, and it's signed at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. I want to thank all of our patrons. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can head over to twochairsnowaiting.com, the website, and you can click on the Patreon link, the patron, to become a patron. I'll show you here in the video version. You can see it. Click on the link. It says become a patron of Two Chairs. Now, what you can do there is you can decide to donate $1 an episode or $2 an episode or $100 an episode, whatever you'd like to do to help support the show and keep things going. So if you'd like to do that, I invite you to do so, and I want to thank you for doing it. By the way, did I say I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting? It's great to have you here with me, and we have got a special show for you tonight. Two Chairs has been fortunate over the years to have permission from Neil Brower to be able to share some of the great interviews he's done at Mayberry Days. You may not know who Neil is. He wrote Mayberry 101, the book. It's a great book. If you don't have that, that's probably, I think they have that over at Weavers. And you want to go check that out too. But Neil, he does Professor Brower's class at Mayberry Days. That's just one of the places he does stuff like that. And if you've missed them, we've done previous episodes. There'll be a link in our show notes for this episode on the Two Chairs No Waiting website, where you can go and see some of the past episodes that Neil has done. He's done interviews with the Darlins and Miss Ellie. I know that's a couple of them I've got. Because several of them are multiple episodes long. So they're three or four episodes long. Eleanor Donahue was another one. He did an interview with Jim Clark and Ken Beck. Jim Clark is the presiding goober over at the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club, as you probably already know that. But Jim does that as well. Neil. So head over and check out some of his past interviews. Now, tonight, we're going to be having fun because we're going to be hearing from Bruce Willison. Now, you may not know who Bruce is, and if you don't, I completely understand that. Bruce is, he was the assistant director for the Andy Griffith Show from 1960 to 1963. Now, he's going to be telling some of this, and Neil will be introducing him as well. But he not only directed the Andy Griffith Show, but he directed Get Smart, there's Bonanza episodes. He's done at least one of those. Doris Day Show, Emergency, Hawaii 5-0, Wonder Woman, The Patty Duke Show, Hogan's Heroes. I mean, he's directed many things. But he got his start as an assistant director there on the Andy Griffith Show. Now, this is, as I said, this is going to be first part of probably four parts as this interview. It may be only three, but we'll see. It's going to be at least three and probably four parts that we're going to be hearing from him. Now, normally I don't suggest that you watch the video version of this podcast, but in this case, I'm going to make an exception again because I believe you would enjoy seeing what we're going to be hearing. Now, if you're listening to the show, I think you'll be able to follow along because you're all big Andy Griffith fans, but they're going to show some clips from episodes that Bruce was the assistant director on. And you're going to want to be able to see what he's talking about, especially as we get along in this series. You're definitely going to want to be able to see it. And I'll try to get in with my voice and give you a slight description, but I'm not sure if that'll be quite as good as actually seeing it for yourself. All right, we need to get this thing going because this is a fairly long series of interviews. And this is, again, this is Bruce Willison and Neil Brower from Mayberry Days, 2011. Now, this is filmed at the recorded at the Earl Theater. So I'm going to hand it off to Neil.
To begin, my name is Neil Brower, and for the next 90 minutes, we're going to listen to a voice of firsthand experience and knowledge. We're going to be listening to the comments of Emmy Award-winning director and the assistant director for the first two seasons of The Andy Griffith Show. Would you please welcome Mr. Bruce Bilson.
Bruce's microphone right now. There it is.
Thanks for coming, everybody. The reason I came down here this week is I just felt I knew a lot of things about the Andrew Griffith Show that you guys didn't. And you know a lot about it, I got to tell you, more than I do. But I've got, experience of making the show come together, how we worked together, how we who work in television are a kind of a family, and I look forward to sharing a lot of good stuff with you.
Well, let's begin at the very start. When and where were you born, Bruce?
I was actually born in Brooklyn, New York in 1928, so I'm 83 years old, for those of you who didn't bring your computers. My dad worked in New York as a young man for Warner Brothers Studio in their publicity that was in New York City. And Jack Warner, one of the Warner Brothers, the most important one actually, took a liking to him and said, George, I'd like you to come to Hollywood and run the trailer department. You guys know what trailers are? That's the previews of coming attractions. In the biz, they're trailers. And so he came out in 1932, and he told my mother, go to the studio and we'll make arrangements for your travel to come to Hollywood. So she went to the office, and somebody said to her, how would you like to travel? Thinking train or whatever. And she said, is there a boat? And he said, yes. And my mother and I came on a ship. I was 43 years old. Through the Panama Canal and into Los Angeles Harbor, where a tugboat came out to meet us with my dad on it. And that's how I got to California.
Bruce, what jobs or schooling did you have, and how did those jobs or your schooling lead to a career in TV direction and TV production?
That's a long... We have, what, 90 minutes? I went to UCLA right after World War II. I missed the draft for World War II by about 2 weeks. I turned 18 2 weeks after the draft ended. And I went to UCLA, and I was an English major because I didn't know what else to be, until they started the drama department. I said, that sounds good. And the drama department turned into the School of Theater Arts, which included drama, television, and radio, movies and radio. Radio was still a big thing. So I became a motion picture major, and I graduated in 1950 in the second class to ever graduate from UCLA Film School as a motion picture major. And off I went into the world, and it was a time when television was really growing. And as it grew, the movie business got strangled a little bit. Theaters closed, and a lot of people were out of work who had been working in the movie business. And fortunately, I got a job, because I knew how to splice film. I had learned that at UCLA. I got a job as an assistant editor on a show called Snader Telescriptions. It was a guy named Snader trying to film all the musical artists, because he knew radio was going to die. You know how that worked out. So anyhow, I got this job splicing film, and I got called into the Air Force and spent 2 years there in a photo unit, and came back and became the assistant editor on You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx. Any of you remember that? And that was the first real job. And I used to get to sit at the broadcast with a script in my hand and there were 8 cameras photographing that picture. You know something? I'm not going to tell you too much about that, because I've got a lot to tell you about the Andy Griffith Show. But anyhow, from there, I got a job directing an exercise show for women, which was this, boom, boom, with a guy playing the piano. But that got me into the Directors Guild of America. And they had a rule that you had to be in 15 a year before you could change categories. So I came in at this category, but I really wanted to start working at this category. And eventually I was able to work as a second assistant director and got a job at Desilu Productions. And later on I'm going to show you the studio and all the shows that were there. And I worked there in 15 months. I became a first assistant. And for about 5 years I was a Desilu assistant. And I got a call from a friend from UCLA to go to the Philippines to produce a series that was being done there, and I thought maybe I'll get a chance to direct. So I rented my house, I picked up my family, my kids were 1 and 3, and we flew to Manila, 32 and a half hours before jets, and spent 9 months there. Nothing good happened, and I came back, to Desilu, and the man who had hired me, I had grown a beard, and the man who had hired me, I said, "Hi, Argy," and didn't talk to me. It was a time when a guy with a beard was a hippie. So I went home and I said, "Honey, the beard's going." And I came back and there he was. "Well, Bruce, good to see you." And a friend of mine, Jay Sandrich, was the assistant director on the Lucy Show. And he recommended me for a new show that was starting called The Andy Griffith Show. And that was it. Now, that was just getting a job, which I needed. I knew absolutely nothing about it except come to work Monday.
Before you actually began production on the show, what did you know about Andy's acting and his comedy style?
I only knew he was the guy who did No Time for Sergeants. And that was a pretty funny movie. And I saw the pilot that was done off of as a spin-off of the Danny Thomas's show. And that was it. So, got a script, broke it down, scheduled it. We went off to Franklin Canyon. Sheldon Leonard was directing, and he was like a big boss at the studio. I had never worked with him before. And here was Andy Griffith and this little redheaded kid, and they came walking down the road. When I said, "Roll camera," and Sheldon said, "Action," and they came walking, nobody whistled. They came walking down the road, and the kid threw a rock in the lake, and it didn't get in the lake. So we did another take, and the kid threw the rock, and it didn't go in the lake. So I said, "Okay, prop man, get behind that bush down there, and when I tell you, throw it, throw it." Now the kid came down the road, threw the rock, it didn't go in the lake. I said, "Throw it," and a splash, right? And the rock was in the lake. Now, in the early shows, if you look at season one, you'll see that rock splash a little bit late. Okay? And if you look at further down the line, it always stops, but he just throws it. It never splashes again.
So let's see the splash.
So they're going to show the video clip here from the opening credits of the Andy Griffith Show. It shows Andy and Opie.
The Andy Griffith Show, starring Andy Griffith with Ronnie Howard. Also starring Don Knotts.
You can see Opie throw the rock.
Brought to you by
Postflash Hits.
Makers of Post 10. 10 little bit better reasons for breakfast. Post 10.
Start your day a little bit better, Opie.
Start your day with a cereal from Post.
Purdy, start your day a little bit better, Ain't B.
Let us start off with Post.
Nice, with a little bit better cereal. Fresh from Post, extra good.
We saw some
the
commercials.
Andy Griffith
and
Show
now they're showing the end of the show
by Post
as Andy and Opie start walking back from the lake. Now you see more cereal boxes.
All fine products General of General Foods. Post cereal.
There comes Andy and Obie walking down. They're showing the credits produced by Aaron Rubin, associate producer Earl Hagen, his music. And they're about to show Bruce's name, assistant director Bruce Wilson. So the crowd goes wild. We're seeing Andy and Obie walk away from Myers Lake back down that same path we always see them coming toward us from at the beginning.
Couple of things about those credits. Did anybody notice that Aaron Rubin's credit was there twice? Once as executive, as producer, and once as, what was his other credit? Script? I don't have it. But Aaron Rubin was really important to that show, and all the writing filtered through his typewriter, I promise you. But he was so proud of his writing prowess that aside from being the producer, there's a second credit for him on every show.
He was script consultant.
Yeah, script consultant. What else can I tell you?
Well, the credits have been filmed, and it's time to start the new season. And you may be surprised to learn that the new housekeeper wasn't the automatic choice for the first episode. 10 years ago, I corresponded with Jack Ellison, who wrote a number of the first two-year season episodes. He wrote The New Housekeeper and Manhunt, season one, second episode. And I want to share with you just one page, and this is his writing, of the decision of what episode would open the Andy Griffith Show. This is Jack Ellison writing. We had six shows filmed when we started discussing about what we should do to have the first one on the air. Which one should it be? It came down to either New Housekeeper or Manhunt. Some of us voted for Manhunt because Barney was so strong in it. Others voted for the New Housekeeper because Opie was strong in that one. CBS, who had the final say, wanted Housekeeper because it was such a pure family show. It was honey. As for Barney's character, it was apparent that Barney was hilarious. We struck gold. This show was just the beginning of his character development. All the scripts after Manhunt honed his character more and more, and Don Knotts himself contributed so much through his acting ability. He came up with so many funny things on the set that embellished the scripts. What was funny on paper became hilarious on film. It didn't take long before Andy and the rest of us realized that Barney should be the funny one and Andy should be the straight man. Obviously, a wise decision. Looking back, it didn't make a bit of difference which show went on the air first. We had a hit on our hands. Well, Don Knotts changed the nature of the show. As Jack writes, Don would be the comedian, and Andy would be the straight man. We're going to now see the opening scene from Manhunt.
I'll tell you something.
So we're seeing the police cars arrive in front of the courthouse.
A mighty important criminal. Look like they sent a whole regiment.
Andy and Barney are watching as they get out of the car and start marching toward the courthouse door.
Howdy, welcome to Maine.
The police continue to file by them.
That's right, operator. I want this line kept open to state capital. Captain Barker, state police, that's who says so.
Sarah? Me. Yeah. It's all right. Any sheriff business comes up, well, you can call my home phone. All right. Oh, she's fine. Captain, I'm Sheriff Taylor.
Good, good.
If there's anything that we can do...
The map.
So the state police set up a map.
Well, now, that's a nice, shiny new map there, but it ain't much different than the one we had up there before.
Ben, this is where we are. Mayberry.
Yeah, that's her, all right.
Walters, Walkers.
Well, now, that's a dandy little item map. Look at that. Little button just sticks there. Don't fall off.
We're still using pens.
Too many of them left either. The woman's club, they put on a Halloween play, and they use this for the dressing room. Hey, darn near used every pen we had, him and up costumes. Oh, I'm sorry we interrupted you. A little talk. You go right ahead.
Thank you. Now, will that blockade here? Here, and here. Now, each blockade, I want a full complement around the clock and fully armed. Tommy guns, tear gas, flares, loudspeakers, spotlights. Any questions? Now.
I got one little bitty one. Yes, sir, you're guarding all the main roads.
Something wrong with that?
Well, no, not if you're expecting that criminal to come through here on the bus. But you've got to give some thought to the idea that he might get sneaky about that thing, come down one of the side roads. We got one road down there by the lake that ain't even marked.
Thank you for that valuable suggestion.
Oh, you're welcome. And if there's anything that we can do to help, why, we're at your disposal, me and my deputy here. Oh, this is Deputy Five.
Now, fellas, you might just well call me Barney. We all in this man up together.
Walters, pass out those pictures. That's Dirksen, the man we're after. You memorize that face well. Learn every line of it.
Oh, it's a nice snapshot of it.
Oh, I hope you know not yet, but the captain and me, we're talking over plans.
You don't have to worry, sir. My pole will catch him for sure.
Oh, now, Opie, the state patrolman, they're going to do their part in this, too, you know. That's my boy, Opie. He's just a little bit prejudiced. Oh, and this is my Aunt Bee.
How do you, Captain? It's mighty nice to see you. Now, Andy, before you go traipsing around the country on any manhunt, you come along home and have dinner first.
Oh, well, now, this is kind of important, Aunt Bee. I'm liable to have to eat a little bit later on.
Peter, do you realize I have a roast in the oven and it's sitting there drying up on it for a moment?
Now, Aunt Bee, you're interrupting official business.
Andy, you know how you are when you miss a meal. He's meaner than a bear backed into a beehive. I don't envy you men working under him.
Ain't me, nobody's working under anybody.
But boy, you're the sheriff. He's only a captain.
Well, this is kind of a joint operation, you might say. State and county working as a team. Gentlemen, shall we get on with it?
Why don't you just stay here and handle your local affairs? We'll set up the roadblocks. Let's go, men.
Andy, they're leaving us Plata.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Don't they know how important you are?
Yeah, well, they're probably saving us for a special assignment, like when the big showdown comes.
Yeah, of course, that's it. Well, we'll be ready for it.
He walks over to Barney and takes the gun off a step.
Bruce, what was your impression of Don Knox?
Well, you know, I saw the pilot, he wasn't in it. So my first impression was, I heard that Andy had a friend he had worked with that was coming on to play his cousin. And then he surely did. And it didn't take long to see the talent and how funny he was. Later on, when we were further into the show and I got to know Don better and his work habits, I've noticed that if we gave him one of those big scenes like the one you're going to see next, in the afternoon, after lunch, and after we'd done a lot of work since 7 o'clock in the morning, he lost a little edge. So I started scheduling, when Don was working, I'd like to have just a little scene in the morning to get him warmed up, both of them actually, and then do his big comedy scene while he was fresh and ready. And I found that it really helped him, and helping him help the show, and helping the show help me be employed. So, not bad.
Now, in just a moment, we're going to see Barney reciting from the Sheriff's Manual. Now, this is from one of the early episodes, episode 4, Ellie Comes to Town. What do you remember about this bit that Don is going to do?
Well, later on, I'll tell you how our week went and what we did every day. But we ended up on Thursdays, Don and Andy, Aaron Rubin, Bob Sweeney, me, and Hazel Hall, the script supervisor, in Aaron Rubin's office, and we went over the script line by line. And while we were doing that, I saw Don was sitting there writing something, and he said, Andy, he said, I've been memorizing this lawman's code. Test me on it, right? And that's where it came from. It was never in the script. And you're about to see it. And while you're watching, listen and to the audience as well. And we'll discuss that right after you see one of my favorite scenes.
Morning, Barney.
Hi, Andy.
How's it doing?
I'm just memorizing these sheriff rules.
Oh.
I got the first one all memorized.
You had it?
Want to just check me on it?
Oh, all right.
I know the whole thing.
Okay. Rule number one. All right, go ahead.
You want to just give me the first word?
Okay. Ann.
Ann.
Ann? Yeah, Ann.
You sure?
I'm looking right at
you. Ann. You want to just give me the second word?
Okay. An officer.
Oh, yeah. An officer. An officer. An officer.
An officer.
An officer. An officer. An officer.
An officer of the.
An officer of the. An officer of the.
An officer of the what?
An officer of the what? That's not right.
No, that ain't right. An officer of the law.
Oh, yeah. An officer of the law. An officer of the law. An officer of the law. Officer of the law.
Enforce the law.
The law.
And order.
And order.
Without regard.
Without regard.
To personal.
To personal.
Welfare.
Welfare.
And safety.
And safety.
Pretty good. You want to go over it again? You think you got it?
I got it.
I love that.
All right, so folks, that's going to be as much as I can show you this episode, or let you listen to, because this was that's pretty long. We're 30 minutes in, I believe, somewhere in that range. Hey, I want to thank, and I'm remiss that I did not thank them, because the video you're seeing is from Neil and Pat Coleman from the Remembering Mayberry chapter. So I want to thank them for this very good quality video and audio that we're getting for these interviews. Now, again, this is the first of several parts. I believe it'll be a 4-part series. So for the next 3 more weeks after this week, you'll be getting to hear more from Bruce I hope you enjoy that. This is all kind of the warm-ups, getting started with him. And just remember, now, he was there from 1960 to 63. He was there as, you know, the formative years of that series. So he helped create the Mayberry that the show continued on into. He was there, you know, helping do the opening scene with Andy and Barney, or I mean, Andy and Opie walking down the path. Opie throwing his rock and couldn't get it to the water, so he had to get somebody else to throw it in from the side. Stuff like that, that's just, wow, how important he was, or is, to the history of the Andy Griffith Show. And it's so wonderful that we have this great interview that Neil did. Now, this was in 2011. Just want to remind you, Neil did another session with Bruce in 2015, this past September, as I record this. And he shared even more information. So we're going to go through this series and maybe hear from Morgan Brittany while we're going through it. And I just, again, want to thank Neil and Pat. Neil and Pat Coleman. I want to thank Neil Brower also for allowing us to do this. Hey, folks, I want to thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of the show. I want to thank those of you that have been writing in and giving me your favorite episodes of the podcast. I'm going to be throwing those in at the end of episodes for the next several weeks, probably. So keep them coming and we'll do it. So, folks, I'd love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. Let me know what you think of these episodes. Thank Neil Brower and Neil and Pat Coleman for putting these together for us. And I'd love to hear from you. Email me at floyd@imavery.com as well. Drop by over at Patreon and support the show. If you enjoy it, support it. That'll help us keep things going. A long time to come. It's been a long time already. 360 episodes are in the bag. Until next time, folks, have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you right here on Two Chairs.